love and respect what time God has given us here upon this earth. There are some quotes concerning time. Time is the coin of your life. It is the only coin you have, and only you can determine how it will be spent. Be careful lest you let other people spend it for you. Carl Sandburg. Time is nature's way of keeping everything from happening at once. Another quote is, we master our minutes or we become slaves to them. We use time or time uses us. Another quote is, more time is wasted, not in hours, but in minutes. A bucket with a small hole in the bottom gets just as empty as a bucket that is deliberately kicked over. Another quote is, treasure each second that you have, and all the more when you can share your precious treasure with someone special, someone to share your treasure. Remember that relentless clock that waits for no one for any reason. Another quote is, yesterday is history, tomorrow is mystery, today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. We're always complaining that our days are few and acting as though there would never be an end. Millions long for immortality who do not know what to do with themselves on a rainy Sunday afternoon. I say go to church. Find something that you can do. Time, Paul writes in Ephesians 5:16, says redeeming the time because the days are evil. All of us need to understand the subject of time has always held a fascination for many, certainly all who have given it some thought and appreciation. One reason, no doubt, that it occupies such a prominent place in our thinking is that life itself is made up of time. Benjamin Franklin once said, do not squander time, for it is the stuff that life is made of. Don't squander it. Don't waste it. But what is time? The question is asked. It is often used expression, but how many can give an apt definition? If I asked you today to define time, I suppose every one of us would give a different answer. What is time? Well, we'll look at three different thoughts on time today. Time generically. We look at the definition, the whole series of seconds, of minutes, of hours, of days, weeks, months, and years without reference to any specific point. Time generically is a short period of God's divine economy that has been sandwiched between two eternities. You see, before time was eternity. And then God has sandwiched a little bit of time in here for you and I upon this earth. And after this time, we'll have eternity. So it will go on and on. And we tried last week to define eternity to some degree, and we looked at, there's just no way to define it in any sense. We looked at as the earth as being a steel ball. If one little ant could continue to walk and circle that ball, steel ball, in the same track, and he could live that long, year after year. And when that ant finally cut that steel ball in two, walking on it, eternity would have just begun. So that's something to say about time. Time here is very important to you and I, but in eternity, when we go on from this world, we each will be in eternity. It will be forever. That's why we should spend these few years here in God's service today for Him. In Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning of what? The beginning of time, ladies and gentlemen. What was before time was eternity. What will be after time will be eternity. How long will time last? When will it come to a close? From one standpoint, we know not. In Matthew 24:36, also verse 42 and verse 44, we'll read those verses. But of that day And now knoweth no man, no not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 25 and also verse 13. Jesus said, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We don't know. We need to watch. We need to be ready. However, from another standpoint, we do. We understand time. Time will end. The second coming of Christ in Revelation 10 and verse 6, if you would read with me. And swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. I'll speak of this verse a little later. Then what is eternity? We all need to think about eternity and think about it. So time is very important. Time is something you and I need to look at. Surely we should be motivated to let God's Word teach us every day concerning time. The psalmist said in Psalms 90, the thing David said we need to learn is to number our days. One writer has said, he tells us to do something we cannot do. No one knows when he is going to die. So we don't know how many days we have left. What David means by numbering our days is we must realize life passes quickly. We must realize that we can lose our life at any moment. We cannot escape the inevitable of death. Most active as they are going to live forever. It was said that an 80-year-old man requested a 20-year mortgage. Now that's kind of silly, isn't it? In Ecclesiastes 9:5, the wise man said, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Now when you die, your memory soon will be forgotten. For some years, people will remember you. But in a little while, your memory is going to be forgotten. We remember sometimes our presidents or rulers for years and years, even for hundreds of years. We remember George Washington. We remember Abraham Lincoln, for those men that have prominent works in our country and in our nation. We remember them. We must live every day as if it would be our last, because someday, sooner or later, we'll be right, and we will indeed live our last day. Only in this way will we be ready to meet our King, our Judge, our Lord. It is so critical that we learn to number our days, for it is only when we understand and appreciate our own mortality. That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, the Bible says. People that don't appreciate their own mortality play the part of a fool. Luke 12 and verse 19. What are our two most valuable possessions? Our soul and our time. Time cannot be created. It cannot be saved or stored. But it can be redeemed. Vines, if you look at Vines' dictionary of the New Testament, Vines says, redeem means to buy up for oneself. Buying up the opportunity, a time in which something is seasonable. In other words, making the most of every opportunity, turning each to the best advantage, since none can be recalled if missed. We hear the old farmer say, make hay when the sun shines. And many of them have reminded me of that. Our parents sometimes tells us, when we tell you to do something, do it. You may not have an opportunity later. When they instruct us in this life, and many of them do, it's because that they're our parents. They know what's best for us. They know what we need. They know the decisions that we need to make. Consider some important passages. Colossians 4 and verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. The wise men said in Ecclesiastes beginning at 8:5, whosoever keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is a time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him, for he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. None of us have power over the Spirit to retain it when death comes. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. When our time upon this earth is ended, you cannot stop it. You will not stop it. None of us will. So you and I need to prepare and make ready today. Now, number two, you and I want to look at time specifically. Again, consider the definition. A measured period, an allotted or fixed moment. God has seen fit to divide that portion of His divine economy known as time into three dispensations. You and I all have studied the patriarchal age, the Mosaical age, and now we live in the Christian age. But you and I will look at the patriarchs. In each of these periods, He has dealt differently with man, but according to the same basic principles. Hear, believe, and obey, and you will receive His blessings. Fail to obey, and you will receive His punishment. Under the patriarchal age, the oldest father in the family served as a prophet or the spokesman of God and the priest of God, acting on behalf of them, making sacrifice for their sins. He was the religious ruler of his clan. It began at creation. And then God chose out a people. And He chose out Abraham, remember? And He told Abraham that there would be one that would come, and that would be the Messiah. But He chose out a people for the seed line, for the blood line from which the Savior, the Messiah, would come. And that would have been the Mosaical age. And it was added to the patriarchal system at Mount Sinai and given only to the children of Israel. Galatians 3:19. Wherefore then serveth the law. It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. So the law was only to last until Christ came and He was nailed to His cross. Colossians 2 and verse 14. The Gentiles continued during this time under the patriarchal age, while the Jews lived under the Mosaical age. And next we have the Christian age. It's the one that you and I are especially interested in today. Our age, the last days. Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. You see, God has gathered all together in one body in Christ, Ephesians 4 and verse, I believe, Ephesians 4 verse 4. This dispensation is known as the last days, Acts 2:16-17. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Hebrews 1:1-2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. God has spoken to you and I in this last period, in this last time. But there is going to be a last day, ladies and gentlemen. You and I should prepare for that last day. We need to do it while here upon this earth. We need to do it now. In John 6:39 and verse 40, also verse 44, "And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise them up at the last day." Verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." In John 12:48, Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." At the last day, time will end. Revelation 10, verse 6. "And swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." Remember this morning we studied in 1 Thessalonians 4, that when the archangel sounds the trumpet, that the Lord will come back, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Those in Thessalonica, as we studied this morning, were concerned over their ones, their loved ones that had died. They thought maybe the Lord would come during their lifetime and their loved ones would be left behind. But the Lord teaches them better, that when he comes back, all will be resurrected. We mentioned those when Christ died at his death, his crucifixion, that they made him come out of the graves and went into the holy city and appeared to many. That shows us that one day God will resurrect these bodies that have died and gone on. And there will be a resurrection. There is proof in God's word. And you and I know that God cannot lie. We know that there is nothing that is impossible with our God. Not one thing is impossible with God. Knowing that, that's the one I want to trust in, the one that is perfect. You and I should always trust in God because he is perfect. It's important for you and me to trust in God. I ask you today, how do you value time? How do we all value time? How do we value 1 year? Ask a student who failed a grade. How do you value 1 month? Ask a mother whose baby arrived prematurely. How do you value 1 week? Editors of weekly newspapers know. How do you value 1 hour? Ask someone whose eye is terminally ill, waiting for a loved one who is late. How do you value 1 minute? Ask someone who missed a plane, a train, or a very important engagement that would never be rescheduled. How do you value 1 second? Ask an Olympic medalist, someone who just missed having an accident, or someone saying goodbye to a loved one that they will never see again. Have you ever come close to an accident, just seconds away from it? Probably all of us have, haven't we? That's how important a second is. 2 seconds. You were a second or so away from death. Brother Ward was telling me he was passing the road here one day, crossing it, and something, he said he heard something, he just stopped right in the middle of the road. And there was a truck coming. The only thing that saved his life, he just heard it in time, I guess. And he just froze. And that's, you're within a second of death, aren't you? And that's how life is. Just so be careful. We love our loved ones, and we want to see them in this next life. We want to see them in the world to come, and we want to be with them. There are many ways that some of us waste time. Common advice given to people who want to improve their use of time is to focus on what contributes most. The inverse, however, is also a worthy pursuit. What does not contribute, but only waste my time or your time? Try listing all the time wasters. maybe on a chart in a typical week, and then rank them on the basis of their degree of time misused. We should ask questions. What would happen if I didn't do this or that? Would it make a significant difference? Can I maybe delegate some work to others? You know, sometimes we as preachers and teachers and we as family members sometimes need to delegate work to others that probably doesn't care to do it. It is good that you and I think upon our time and not waste it. And lastly, we will look at time specifically to the individual. It begins at birth and it ends at death. During this time, we determine where we shall spend eternity. It is like a clock. It keeps turning and it doesn't stop. It doesn't hold up for anyone. Some of our clocks may run slow, others fast, and still others normal. We're babies, then we grow into adolescent ages, and then we're older people before you know it. We talked about that, I believe, a week or so ago, that certainly time surely flies. We talked to some of the older people, and they say the golden years are not what they are put out to be. A lot of people say, I'm waiting for my retirement. But they're not understanding what they're waiting for, really. All the aches and the pains and the sorrows and the troubles and the trials and the loved ones that will leave this world when you get older. You'll probably see a lot that you wish you hadn't have saw. So these are the things that we look at. What about my own clock? What about your clock? How's it running today? Are we living such a life as it would be pleasing to God? Are you using your time wisely? Are you using it for the Lord? Are you wasting it? God's Word teaches us to hear it, to listen and obey. God wants us to hear His Word, to believe His Word. God wants you and I to repent of our sins, turn away from sin. God wants you and I to confess His name, the name of Christ. God wants you and I to be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. The answer that Peter gave to those on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, for the promise unto you and to your children, and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words he testified in court, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So the apostle Peter says, save yourselves. You see, we cannot do that for you. You have to make that decision for yourself, to save yourself. So if you have never been baptized into Christ, this will be an excellent time today to do that. If you've been baptized into Christ and you've not lived, you should live. And you need to repent. You need to come back to God. Do that. As good as we stand with us, we're saying, please come forward.
Thank you.